Welcome to the Minute Maid Gang podcast, episode,
whatever.
I'm not sure, but we are
50 something
like that. Yeah, we are at Social Media Breakfast, actually the aftermath of Social Media Breakfast, and that was SMB number 40, and we're doing the Minute Maid Gang podcast live, and we have the opportunity to have some guests here today, and I'm Phil Wilson, and Graham Thickens is here.
Hello.
So let's start and hop right into it and talk a little bit about Social Media Breakfast. And the founder of Social Media Breakfast for Minnesota is here, Rick Mon. How are you doing, Rick?
We are honored to have the man himself.
The man,
legend. Oh, my God.
Who is Rick Mon?
my head is just inflating like
it should
look
be.
Out. Balloon man.
Well, Michael had some interesting stats to share with us at the beginning of Social Media Breakfast.
Yes.
Can you share some of those stats with us as well?
I didn't memorize them, but I'll go off the top of my head.
Go for it.
Oh, definitely. So our first event was in January of 2008. It was a great little event with 16 people in downtown Minneapolis, Keys Cafe in downtown Minneapolis, the Fauché Tower. Beautiful location. It was just a snowy, snowy day. We've had a lot of fun over the years growing and stuff. It just has grown by leaps and bounds, starting as free event.
Biggest in the country. Is it still the biggest in the country?
I believe it still is the largest in the country.
Yeah.
Michael had a great slide earlier with the bacon growth.
Was it a bar chart?
And Michael is here joining us.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
We were just talking about some of the stats that you shared, and Rick was telling us that 16 people started in at Keys in the Fauché Tower in 2008, and that membership has grown to,
we're just shy of 3,050 as of this month,
and still the biggest Social Media Breakfast.
Yep, we're the largest chapter in the country for Social Media Breakfast. We have the most consecutive breakfast events and the largest attendance record, 350 back in, I believe it was April of 2009.
Yeah, the outdoor event.
And then you also had an interesting bacon stat, and I believe that's pretty
3,715, I believe.
Slices of bacon
consumed so far.
Yes.
We're still working on it.
Love that bacon.
I did not know we were keeping that stat.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Very scientific.
Michael doesn't mess much.
Tell us a little bit, gentlemen, about where you see Social Media Breakfast going. Will this continue to grow? Do you see it's plateaued? Or, what are your plans for the next 3 years?
Well, I think the key to the growth within the past year certainly has been recognizing what we're good at and sticking with that.
I mean,
well, building community, bringing people together, getting this information out there. I mean, you saw earlier in the breakfast, we always ask how many people are here for the first time, and half the hands go up. So there's a really good kind of churning, if you will, of new people coming in and getting the information. We're keeping the size manageable, we're keeping the venues smaller, and just sticking to that model, and that's worked pretty well. So if growth to me is making it easier to do each month, which helps. We have a coffee sponsor now, we have a bacon sponsor, the venues are easier to find. So it's that's good growth to me. I'm happy with that. Rick, you have a take on
it? Yeah, I'd add that keeping the accessibility, and I think there was a period in the middle part of the last 3.5 years where we let it grow really wildly, and those big events were fun, but it was you can't maintain it month after month. And
you start running out of venues to choose from when you get
how do you have a meaningful discourse on something that we're all interested in with 350 people in the crowd?
Yeah.
100 I think is about the max or around there. You have that the people feel comfortable asking questions, that everybody can hear the questions and the answers, and having small panels or large panels, you can mix it up. So I think, and that's Michael and I did talk about that a year and a half ago or so, and I think especially this past year, Michael's got a vision for maintaining this and having this community be able to sustain itself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you're seeing the fruits of today.
Yeah, awesome.
We also have the opportunity to speak with two of the women that presented today at Social Media Breakfast, Meg Knodel and Lisa Grimm. Lisa from the Mall of America and Meg from the Hennepin Central Library. And she is there. Here, you guys did a presentation on community management, and
apparently I didn't
represent my brand very well.
You represent your brand very well. To me, you're Meg Knodel. You're not.
Right.
You're not the library.
So because I am a brand individual.
I was going to ask.
Brand individual.
I love that.
Now, who coined the brand individual phrase? Was that you, Lisa?
Leon.
Was that you?
Leon.
Oh,
yes.
Who was here in the front,
row?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's our challenge for the day is to use the phrase brand individual in a sentence.
Well, ladies, kind of give us the 411. Give me the 30 second. What was the presentation centered on and focused on, and where do you think it went?
We talked about community management. Lisa and I are both community managers, and we talked about our respective communities, how we perform our jobs. And one thing I forgot to add was that January 24th is Community Manager Day.
Oh.
No, and like, so we totally need flowers and stuff like that, right? Mugs, I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Anyhow,
so
January 24th.
Is this a Hallmark holiday?
Be sure to thank your community manager.
Yeah, get cards from Red Stamp.
Find my community manager first.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think you are your community manager.
It's a very small community.
They can be of any size.
Of any.
So
Lisa, what did you think? What was your goal today, and what was your takeaway? What do you think?
My goal is to always provide value to at least one person in the room. So I hope that we accomplish that.
Wow.
But the goal is really to talk about community management, but on a broader scale, what real-time mediums or what social technologies are doing to business and creating the change. I mean, I think that that's what we're really dealing with, is not just having conversations online, but what those conversations then represent in turn for business inside of organizations. So we tried to hit a lot of subject matter on the very basic of how are you having these conversations, how do you engage, what does that look like, are you listening, what tools do you use, all the way to goal setting, strategies and tactics, and how we're measuring those in our respective organizations.
Sure. You didn't spend a lot of time talking about measurement.
No, because we had very little time.
We also didn't have visuals.
No.
And
right.
I think this was more of a casual conversation in that way.
Well,
certainly we can talk about
the Lazy
metrics.
Boys were indicative of that, more relaxed sort of.
I couldn't get the footrest back down.
No, me either.
You looked,
it was too awkward.
You looked very relaxed.
It was definitely a funny moment to be relaxed and sitting in front of all these people. But I would say also this is a very new field. And so Lisa and I are representing something that's still developing.
Yep. Not many companies have community managers. It's not a widely recognized job title. Was there a whole lot of discussion about companies hiring people? Like, there wasn't really today, was there?
Some sort of a mention of it.
Yeah.
We kind of glossed over that. Graham, you've spent a lot of time in the world of marketing and working closely with startups. And startups this day and age are probably more akin and a little more aware of social media.
Oh, they definitely are.
Are you finding, and this kind of dovetails into what we discussed a little bit during the presentation, but are you finding that there's more acceptance and more empowerment for community management within those small startups?
Yeah, they don't really call it that, you know, in small startups, but they don't really know what to call it. You know, some are very savvy. Many founders jump right in right from the get-go and know that they understand social media and conversations and what that means well ahead of when they even launch the company. Others don't understand it and need outside help, and you know there are plenty of people out there to help them do that, and me included. So,
we talked a little bit about it, Meg, in the conversation. You know, the curmudgeon-y old guys in the back of the room talking about social media and the acceptance of it by companies, and then companies wanting to actually interact with it. The library, the Mall of America, both very active in responding to people on social media, but there are plenty of businesses out there that don't really want to open that channel to the customer because they think first it's more work and it's wrought with if I want to engage with them I may actually have to super serve them and that sort of a thing.
And
so
part of a community manager's responsibility is to say if you're not willing to use this channel the way people want to use it, you don't really have a right to be there. If you're going to hide who your fans are because you're worried about people identifying as a fan of yours, that's not the appropriate use of social. If you're going to turn off commenting, that's another situation where it's like, well, we could have a Facebook wall, but what if we just turned off comments?
Yeah.
Well, then don't use Facebook. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And I think you can't
shut off a bad NPR story, or you can't, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't shut off things that are happening in other media. And so I think that that's a layer of the conversation too, where it's like, you know, depending on the severity of the situation, a conversation that's happening in an online community could have originated from like a traditional media story. Yeah. And so I think that that kind of thing needs to be taken into account too. And it's like, okay, so how are you responding to that? You're calling all the key stakeholders, you're calling journalists, you're trying to write the story, or you're trying to plant news stories. That, I mean, there are all of these things that whatever your media strategy is, that plays into your social strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
You must have a lot of interchange with reporters, don't you?
Yes.
At such a major brand as
Yeah.
Mall of America.
Yeah.
Are they hopping in looking for stories? I mean, do you actively sort of monitor certain reporters' tweet streams, or how do you do that? You're not really the PR person. You're the social media.
Yeah, I'm the digital brand manager, so yeah, I manage yeah. Interactive and yeah, then sit yeah. in PR. So it's
are you
unique.
Engaging with reporters?
Absolutely,
on
digital trade for yeah, sure. Yeah. But
and
as
your cohort is certainly doing a lot of that. Too.
Yeah, so, she's yeah. PR manager, and yep. then we've got a PR
right.
coordinator. So
right.
we've got people doing all the traditional stuff yep. as well as yep. digital. Yep. So
big opportunities wow. in social media with as relates PR for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit, and maybe you guys can give us some figures. I don't know if you can, but what percentage of companies out there, if you were to take the Fortune 1000 companies, how many of those have a social media strategy in place, and how many are taking that strategy to the point of actually engaging? I mean, a lot of people will say, I've got a Facebook page. Well, that's not necessarily a strategy. And you talked a little bit about it's a very new industry. If you were to say percentage of Fortune 1000 companies,
I just tweeted a study yesterday from University of Massachusetts. They say it's flattened out Fortune 500 adoption of social media, you know, just compared to the previous year. 23% have corporate public-facing blogs. 62% or no. Yeah, something like, no, 58% are on Facebook, I believe, and 62% are on Twitter. But they aren't seeing that line going up very rapidly. But those are still pretty impressive numbers, I think.
Well, and hopefully everybody's not just jumping in just because it's Facebook
right.
or just because it's Twitter.
Right.
I do believe there are better venues for some companies than others.
Yeah.
And I do think that you don't have a Facebook page just to have a Facebook page.
Right.
You have them because you're engaging with your community. And I had someone come up to me after the presentation and say, you know, I'm just not finding my people in the places that we've created presences. And I said, give them a couple months and then drop it. Because at some point, it's not worth the time and effort
right.
that you could be spending in a place where your audience is. And how
yep.
do you figure out where your audience is? Do focus groups, do surveys, use traditional methods, talk to
mm-hmm.
people.
A-B test.
What's
I mean,
that?
A-B test. I mean,
yep.
content is
yep.
a really big deal. And if you are creating content that people aren't engaging with, go to a free tool. You want to talk about measurement? Somebody just came up and they were like, my content's not performing. My content, nobody talks. Okay, Google Analytics is amazing. So if that's the hub of your content, which I
yeah.
hope that it still is,
yeah.
What are the keywords people are coming in on that site? Why don't you optimize your
yeah.
content with that kind of keyword?
Yeah, that was a great point you brought up today. Yeah,
I mean, keyword-rich stuff. I mean, you know how many people are connecting mobily. You know how many people, what kind of content, landing pages, exit pages. I mean, that's
yep.
free
that's
information.
The study. Yep.
And what, how are they misspelling your name?
Yes.
How are they truncating your name?
Yes.
You know, those things that you might not know if
yeah.
you're not directly in the line of that traffic.
Mm-hmm. I hate being truncated.
I just want to bring up one good point, because this is one of my other opinion points, is to Phil's point and question about how many brands are really engaged or have a social media strategy, is that like on paper or is that in the media? Like, is it real or is it like, oh, hey, we have this social media communications command center, but really it's all about getting media for doing things that are progressive and social, but you talk to people who are community managers inside those organizations and it's like a whole other story. It's interesting.
Well, which brands do you think of? I sure think of Ford and our friend Scott Monty. They seem to be doing an amazing job, aren't they?
Zappos.
Yes.
I mean, they're my sort of brand standard.
Yeah.
I will say New York Public Library is my unofficial mentor, and they have you know, they have 40,000 plus likes on Facebook.
Wow.
That's a huge audience.
Mm-hmm. I guess it is, yeah. How many do you have at Mall of America now? You must have a pretty big number.
How many?
Facebook?
On
likes?
Facebook? About 300,000, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was 75,000 when I started there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's like, what,
it's organic growth,
two
too.
Years?
Yeah, about 18 months, yeah.
18 months.
Yeah.
And how many followers on Twitter now?
About almost 11,000, which is huge.
Cool.
There were about like 4,000 when I started.
Yeah.
It's a slower growth channel for us, but the only, it's different.
Yeah, Facebook is,
it's where everybody is.
It seems a better fit for a mall.
For us, too, since redeveloping the content strategy of the MOA blog, we are seeing about 35,000 views per month since relaunching in January, which is pretty epic for us.
Yeah.
So that's been a really fun channel and conversation starter for us. So we love it.
It keeps you busy.
Yes.
So where do you see social media going? Will it continue to grow, or are we weeding out the the bandwagoners?
No, I think this is the future. And one of the things that I said at the last social media breakfast.
Now, Meg, who's going to have to die to make it the future? Because there are still people in the chairs, the CEOs and the CMOs,
sadly,
that won't go for it.
The industries that support it, it's that compete, I should say, with social media are starting to fold. And I'm not saying that I want them to go away, but print, you know, we're talking about the traditional newspaper, that kind of press is going away and it's moving to online, and that means the new set of paradigms where I need to be able to share it on social media. I need to be able to comment on it and talk about it with my community. And that's going to ultimately shape where social media goes and how it changes. I was saying, though, at the last social media breakfast, I used the phrase legacy media when talking about print and talking about papers and magazines and sort of the traditional marketing advertising methods that we've used, promotion. That's legacy media. This is today, current media.
I love the tweet that somebody did today. It's like, oh, I'm so excited to be involved in social media now. No more brochures.
Yeah,
yeah, save the tree.
Yeah, now we have brochureware.
Yeah,
so it's
right,
okay.
Right.
I think, sorry, I have to go there because I just watched page one inside the New York Times over the weekend, actually. I finally got to that documentary. But I think that social media is people connecting. I mean, I said that during this talk. It's like we're just talking to each other, so we have these social technologies that transcend geography that allow us to change that to a global audience. But the social media dude from the New York Times said something really awesome during that documentary, which was that, like, he's got friends who, when they went to a paywall at New York Times, were like, you know, God, I love you and everything, New York Times, but, you know, this is basically BS that you're going to a paywall. And he was like, and he's my age, he's under 30, and he was like, you know, with all due respect, that scares the shit out of me, because there is some serious validity to traditional journalism, to well done and well thought out journalism.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Comparatively to citizen journalism, which I also enjoy, but I do feel, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm actually in the process of thinking about it.
Yeah. Did you see where the Star Tribune's adding a paywall on November 1?
They don't have enough of that. Sorry.
Somebody has got to make some money somewhere.
Apparently.
And I have to be honest with you, the only time that I hit the paywall that I get upset is when I can't get my Mark Bittman recipes off New York Times.
Yeah, apparently with the Star Tribune, if you subscribe to the print, you don't have to pay anything online, but they're going to meter the number of stories available to the freeloaders, if you want to call
it. The New York Times is actually showing a profit from this.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah. They've
somewhat stopped the bleeding to some extent.
Yeah,
so
right.
And we've always talked about, you know, in innovative space, online, internet, in all facets. You know, we started out, this everything was, the expectation was free, and that was probably a mistake on our part, because, you know, people still got to eat. So those people making this content, they do have to make money from it.
Did you have a point you wanted to make, Rick?
Well, probably not, but let me try. But no, all the talk about traditional media again, and, you know, we visited this last, you know, year and a half, 2 years, on and off. It is. Traditional professional journalism, I mean, it costs money to send people across the country and around the world. It costs money to collate that, to get it all, you know, put together, proofread it, you know, even though they might eventually discontinue print. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a lot of the production of this stuff, just like television. Mm-hmm. It costs money to produce this information. And, you know, we're watching them stumble through to try and find that model. You know, we've had subscription models for decades, 100 years. Why is this any different?
Yeah,
I think it's like you said, Phil, it's going from, you know, it was all free online. I could get the AP feeds for free.
We teed up the expectation.
Yeah, we were in the beta phase. And
exactly.
Now we're entering the...
Have you heard, just to switch to another medium, is, you know, Google Maps, the API they're starting, they announced they're going to start charging.
I saw that. Because there are people taking big advantage of that API. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just newspapers, it's everybody, you know, whether they want to just monetize or they need to actually pay for costs for production of all this data.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, listen, thanks very much for sharing some social media insights, you guys,
from both
Social Media Breakfast and the community managers.
Yay!
Yay.
Remember, January 24th, Community Manager Day.
Community Manager Day, yeah.
Grant,
and a shout-out to Connie Benson, who couldn't make it.
Love you, Connie.
Yeah, Connie's at Dell now.
Connie taught me everything I know.
She's a senior social media strategist or community manager.
Exactly. Another Minnesota miracle. Yeah. You know, we've got so many great talents.
She's still here. She's moving to Austin.
Another Minnesota miracle.
I want to go to Austin.
Austin does not suck.
The wintertime is a good time to be in Austin. The summer, I don't know.
Graham, anything else for the good of the order as far as what's coming up as far as events and that you want to talk about?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here. What is coming up next week? Well, I'm going to Colorado for DFRAG, don't ask me about local events that week, but there's probably some things going on next week.
Look at the show notes and it'll be there.
Product camp is coming up November 12th after I'm back from DFRAG. But,
sounds great.
We had a flurry of events here in the last week or two. Maybe it's slowing down a little bit.
Yes.
Lots of good things going on.
The folks at Project Skyway had their demo day on Wednesday, and we also
and the Tech Entrepreneurs Rally was tremendous.
Was there you know, anybody dressed up? You know, did anybody paint their face?
We didn't get that.
That would have added something.
that would have helped. It was good. 200 plus people, and
did anybody do the wave? It's not a rally without the wave. Come on.
There was a lot of hooting and hollering.
There you go.
There was, it was sort of like a revival, sort of a tent revival in the grain exchange,
That's great.
A big high ceiling.
We'll be back next week with the full contingent of Minivate Gang, and we'll talk about more then. So we'll see you next week on the Minivate Gang podcast.
You betcha. Over and out.